Today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston. Bread for the
Broken. You know Jesus, I'm assuming. If you do, if you don't, well, we need to fix that today. But if you know Jesus, you have no fear. I don't care how scary the demon is. He's got nothing on you. Nothing. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Even if Satan himself shows up on your front door, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Why? Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus.
Have you ever felt fear? True and palpable fear is often few and far between for most. But in this world, fear from anything is commonplace. In today's message, Pastor James will remind you that if you're a believer in Christ, the Bible says that you have nothing to fear. Nothing can defeat God. As a believer in Christ, you're a son or a daughter to the Most High King, an heir to his throne. He promises protection and provision for those who bear and share his name among those who choose to hear it. Now here's Pastor James in the book of Acts chapter 19 with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
If God's not giving Paul the power to do the miracles are not happening, all right? And these miracles are unusual because they've never really happened before. And do they continue to happen like this? I don't know. I think there's a reason why the word unusual is used there, because it's not standard. It's not normal. It's not normal. When somebody's sweatband is healing people of sicknesses, that's not normal, and that's kind of gross. That's gross. I'm sorry, but no, I don't want your sweatband, Apostle Paul, but some people, that was a point of connection for them. Okay, I'll explain that. So you got these miracles, right? Verse 12 says, when handkerchiefs, or I call them sweatbands, or aprons that have merely touched Paul's skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases, and evil spirits were expelled. This is happening in Ephesus. Like, this is madness. So there's Paul doing school of ministry. Probably, we don't know. There's a good chance that he's still building tents. Because why is he wearing an apron? He's not a barista at Starbucks. He's not like dishing out lattes and stuff. He's probably building tents, and he's got a sweatband because he's sweating like crazy, because you build tents, you get sweaty. But people were taking his sweatbands and his aprons, and they were throwing it on their sick, their loved ones. Gross. Gross. I'm sorry, but look, I work outside, you know, a couple of days out of the week, right? It seems like most days out of the week. When I got a mowing day and I walk in, nobody in my house wants to touch me. Like, I'm covered in sweat. Like, I'm 8 hours of sweat. I mean, it's just built up on me. And I walk in, and everybody's like, oh, don't touch. And I get it, right? And here are these people, they're following Paul, and they're like, get that handkerchief. Like, he just dropped his, yeah, get that bandana Paul just dropped. Get it. And then, I mean, just throwing it on sick people. And they're getting healed. This is not like fake. This is not phony. This is not, well, maybe they had like some sort of psychological disorder, and this was just like all this. No. This was like real healing happening. They had real sicknesses, real diseases, real demons, and they were healed. Why? It's kind of like that story in the Gospels, where you have this sweet lady who has had this problem with bleeding for so long. And she knows Jesus is walking through the city. And in her mind, she says, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. Was there anything magical about his garment? Nope. Not at all. It's just a piece of cloth. There's nothing magical about it. Should we go dig it up somewhere? And no, don't do that. It's just a piece of cloth. The point is not his garment. The point was the connection, the faith connection. She knew if I could just touch the hem of his garment, she knew the healing comes from Jesus. And she knew if I can even just get as so much as close to him as just the touch, the, you know, part of his shirt, that's more than enough to take care of my problem that all these doctors can't fix. And she got there and she touched his garment. And he's like, hey, who touched me? And the disciples are like, are you crazy? There are crowds around us. Everybody's pushing in and touching you. He's like, no. Somebody touched me. And then she grabbed that. She touched the hem of his garment. And she came forward and she was healed. Nothing miraculous about his garment. Nothing at all. But for her, it was like, if I know he can heal me, if I get there and touch that garment, that's more than enough to heal me. These people, they knew, like, man, if I can just something that has been in contact with the Apostle Paul, because obviously God is doing great things through him, if I can just get in contact with anything that has touched his body, that's more than enough to heal my loved one. Or the sick one that may be saying, look, I don't care what it is, give me his sweaty bandana, whatever it is. I know that God can use that to heal me. It was a point of contact. It's kind of like that faith connection for these guys. What I love about this is that God healed them. There's no like rhyme or reason to it. And you can't like put a formula on this stuff. Because there are guys who have tried to put formulas on these things. You can turn on a television and they'll tell you like, look, just put your hand on the screen, right? And you get healed. You know what's funny about that? I was listening to a podcast this past week. And it's a Calvary Chapel podcast, and it's Bill Holdridge. Bill Holdridge. I don't know if you know. I went to school with Nate Holdridge. Nellie and I went to school with Nate Holdridge, his son. Calvary Chapel, Monterey Bay. Bill Holdridge goes around and he helps out churches now. He was interviewing this guy who mentored him. He's an 80-year-old man, and he's having some leg issues, right? He has to get up and walk around. He has a nurse that kind of helps him with that. But his leg was causing him all sorts of pain. And he's like, you know what I did? And he's a very solid, biblically based guy. He's like, I turned on the TV and there was this guy on TV, a preacher on TV. And this guy, he's for 80 years, you know, for 60 years, he's been a preacher, pastor himself. And he's like, and this guy said, he said something along the lines of like, hey, look, you know, just pray this prayer after me. If you got some aches in your body or whatever, just pray this prayer after me. I feel like the Lord, you know, wants to heal you. And he's like, you know what? He's like, I think I'm just going to do that. I'm going to pray that prayer. Prayed the prayer, went to bed, woke up, leg pain's gone. Like, leg pain, like they couldn't figure out what is causing his leg pain. Wakes up, and his nurse, who has to help him walk around, this 80-year-old man just pops back up, and he's like walking with no issues. And she's like, what happened to you? He says, well, let me tell you about Jesus who healed me. Sometimes the Lord uses these things. Sometimes he uses this stuff, okay? I don't think there's any kind of rhyme or reason to this and all that stuff. He just, I think it's one way of him just saying like, look, you think you got me figured out? Think again. Think again. Oh, the Lord will never use that. And he's like, well, maybe I will. Maybe I will. Maybe that's what that person needs. Maybe there's nothing magical about the pool of Siloam. But they believe an angel comes down and stirs up the water and everything, and the first person in gets healed, and they get healed. Maybe that's just how I want to do things. And we all be smart to just be like, you know what, Lord? May your will be done. How about your will be done? Instead of me trying to figure out all this stuff, just do what you want, God. Just do what you want. I'm just along for the ride, and it's a thrilling ride. I'm just, help me to know how to hold on, right? Because this is the craziest roller coaster I think any of us have ever been on. So here, this is going around. Sicknesses are being healed. Evil spirits are being expelled. This is also further establishing the fact that Paul is legit in this message. This gospel message is legit, okay? Confirming the fact that God was actually in and behind this thing. Here's where it gets funny. Okay, I find this story a little bit comical. You might find it a little bit intimidating or scary. I don't. I find the humor in it. Okay, it's just any time I've gone through this, I'm just kind of chuckle, right? Because I just immediately my imagination starts working out, and I'm like, oh, what a sight to see. I'd pay anything to be there for this, just to watch this next story. But whatever. Verse 13, a group of Jews traveling from town to town, itinerant Jews, okay? They kind of cruise around. This is how they make their money. They're going from town to town, casting out evil spirits, all right? So that's their gig. They're traveling exorcists. This is who they are, okay? That's a weird job to have, okay? I don't know if it's financially lucrative today, but these guys still exist. They still exist. They're still traveling exorcists. They will show up and they'll cast a demon out of anything and everything, right? If you got the money, oh, they'll find them and they'll get rid of them for you. Kind of like the Ghostbusters, but I don't know, maybe on the same level as the Ghostbusters, but they're traveling around. This is how they made their money. Maybe successful to an extent. We don't really know. Not in this story though, okay? I don't know if this is the first stop or if this is one stop around of many cities. They end up in Ephesus, and here's what they do. They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation. Okay, so they hear there's this Apostle Paul. He keeps talking about Jesus, and they're taking his sweaty bandanas and all this stuff, and they're throwing it on sick people and demon-possessed people, and the demons are coming out of these people. And the connection is there's Paul and this Jesus he keeps talking about. It's got to be the magic word, Jesus. That's the magic word. Okay? So they work it into the little sales pitch, right? Little sales pitch for demons, okay? Hey, you, I'm going to negotiate with you. You need to come out of this person. Why? Because of Jesus? I don't know, right? Not a lot of confidence, not a great success, not a great plan, okay? They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation, saying, I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. That's the key. Whom Paul preaches, or who Paul talks about, or who Paul knows. I personally don't know the guy, but I know a guy who knows that guy. So I'm going to invoke that authority. All right? Doesn't work. Does not work, okay? Come out. To come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, they were doing this. But one time, when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, I know Jesus. I know Paul. Who are you? Yeah, you can understand how terrifying that would be, right? You're in the house. You got your buddies. You're like, okay, here we go. This has worked before. I don't know how it's worked before, but it seems like it may have worked before. Maybe on lower demons or something. I don't know, but they show up and they're like, okay, here we go. You know what to say? Yeah, okay. Jesus, yay, the Jesus that Paul knows, that Paul talks about, in his name, you come out. He's like, excuse me. I know Jesus. I know him really well. I even know Paul. But I don't know who you are. And in one sense, it's like this demon speaking from within this man is saying, like, who do you think you are? I know those other two guys, but who do you think you are? That's where it gets a little frightening, okay? Now, here's what's comforting about this. These individuals, they do not know Jesus. They don't know Jesus. You know Jesus, I'm assuming, if you do. If you don't, well, we need to fix that today. But if you know Jesus, you have no fear. I don't care how scary the demon is. He's got nothing on you. Nothing. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Even if Satan himself shows up on your front door, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Why? Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. That's why. Now, if you're going around trying to represent Jesus and you don't really know Jesus, then you should be afraid. Then individuals like that should take warning. Because it may not turn out well for you, okay? Like for these guys, they had cause to be afraid because they don't know Jesus. They don't know him. You can't represent somebody you don't know. You can't speak for somebody you don't know. You can't live for someone you don't know. It's not going to work out. Either you get frustrated because you can't figure out the disconnect, or something does happen to you and then you abandon it all. You need to know him. You need to know him. And for believers, this whole, you know, demonic realm type stuff, demonology and all that, listen, there's fallen angels. That's a reality. That's real. There's a spiritual realm that surrounds us. That's real. Demons, they're real. Angels, good ones, they're real. But we as Christians, you don't have to walk in fear. You don't have to walk in and be afraid of that type of stuff. Because of Jesus. Simply because of him, right? And we don't even understand. I think as Christians, you know, you can go back into some of the Old Testament stories where you have individuals who are surrounded by a host of heaven, right? I think as believers don't even understand what even God has placed for us or surrounding us just protection-wise. A third of the angels fell from heaven. Two-thirds remained. The bad guys are outnumbered. We don't even need the two-thirds of the host of heaven. Jesus alone is more than enough to combat the one-third that rebelled. You're going to be all right. You'll be all right. Okay? These guys, not all right. Okay? Look what happens. I know Jesus. I know Paul. But who are you? Then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them. He's attacking them. Overpowered them. This is like seven dudes. One guy, seven guys, overpowered them and attacked them with such violence that they fled out of the house naked and battered. Like, what happened? Like, now listen, I've been in some of our officer out there. I'm sure he's encountered some stuff too. If you've ever been around any individuals high on some sort of drug, you understand that. I mean, there's sometimes this thing that happens, and I don't care how many guys you got on this dude. I mean, nobody can overpower this guy. I've been in those situations. I've seen those things taken. Like right in our church foyer one time. I mean, it took several guys to get one guy just down. And there's this thing that happens, and I've witnessed it even with kids, even with teenage boy. And was there a demonic influence with that case and drugs too? Yeah, I'm sure there was, but man, I don't know what it is, but there's just this power that's there, and it is insane. Insane. That's why it's good to know Jesus. That's why it's good to be in Christ, and Christ in you. Okay? These guys don't know Jesus, and they end up, you know, getting beat up by this demon. I mean, and they run out of this house. They got no clothes on, and they got beaten up, and everybody's like, what is going on? Like, what? Wait, there goes the Ghostbusters. Like, they're gone. Like, where'd you guys go? Must not have worked. It didn't work for them, but it did work for Ephesus. Because God can use a crazy story and use it to trigger a revival, right? So here you got these guys run out, and it says this, verse 17. The story of what happened spread quickly all throughout Ephesus. Of course it did. Of course it did. If that happens in Galveston, everybody's going to know about it, right? Did you hear about that one guy beat up those seven guys and they all ran out of the house naked and beaten up? Yeah, you're going to hear about that, right? So word spread through Ephesus to the Jews and the Greek alike. A solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored because of this story. That's crazy. That's crazy. You got sweat rags healing people. You got exorcists who don't know what in the world they're doing. They're getting beaten up, and God is getting glorified the whole time. It's crazy. We think it's got to be so clean and so sterile, right? Preach this message, everybody gets saved, revival happens, all that stuff. That's not how it works. That's not always how it works. Sometimes revival breaks out in the weirdest of situations. Look what happens for these guys. So it says that the story's spreading through. Solemn fear descends on the city. The name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. Many who became believers confessed their sinful practices, which there were many in Ephesus. And a number of them who had been practicing sorcery brought their incantation books or their spell books and all this other type of stuff. And they burned them in a public bonfire. This is book burning that's going on here. Now, this is not a government-issued book burning or a church-issued book. This is people just saying, like, you know what? I'm following Jesus now, and I've been holding on to this. So I'm just going to get rid of this because this connects me to the old life. And I don't want any more connections to the old life. So I'm just going to get rid of it. I'm just going to burn it up. And that's what they did. It says the value of the books was several million dollars. Several, anywhere from $1 to $5 million is the estimated value of the material that they burned. And you might be thinking like, well, what a waste. Why not sell it? And not all that money could go to the church or go to the poor. No, get rid of it. Burn it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Just get rid of it. The point of it is this. If the Lord is doing something within your life, and there's something that we all have those mementos. We all have those mementos. Like those things that I've carried into this relationship with Jesus. Are they necessary? Are they always necessarily bad things? They're not always bad things. But are they things that keep you holding on to the past life? If they're things that keep you holding on to the past life, or, you know, rolling down that road of like, you know, nostalgia and all that good stuff, it's never as good as you thought it was. I'm sorry, but it was never as good as you thought it was. Your brain has tricked you into thinking it was as good as you thought it was, okay? I would love to go back to some of those days. But then when I really think about it, I'm like, it probably wasn't all that great. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Your brain likes to trick you, right? It likes to sugarcoat a lot, especially the past. Just be done. Just be done. There was a point in time in my walk with Jesus, like coming into the relationship with Jesus, I was born in 79, right? So I'm technically, I don't know, like an 80s kid or whatever, early 90s, rap, hip hop. Ah, I love it. Oh man, so good. And I had a collection of all these CDs that I can never play around my Christian friends because they told me this is bad. Like, what are you listening to? And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's good music, right? Good beats, good hooks, and all that good stuff. Like, there was one time I was just going through, and whatever music you want to listen to, listen to whatever music you want to listen to. I don't, you know, sometimes, you know, I put on my Michael Jackson Thriller album on my record player because sometimes I just love a little bit of Michael Jackson. A little bit of that beat is just, and the guy was a pretty, you know, amazing performer. But I had this box of memorabilia, I would say, from the past. And it was all CDs. And there's not a single one of them in there that I could ever play within the presence of my wife because of all the words that were dropped on a lot of these songs that were demeaning towards women. And so I'm looking at these CDs and I'm thinking like, you know what? Why am I holding on to this? Why am I holding on to this stuff? And it doesn't matter of like, well, James, you know, as a, you know, a Christian, you can listen to what you want to listen to. Listen, all that arguments is stupid, okay? It's all dumb, right? In the sense that it came down to a personal conviction between me and the Lord, right? And I had to deal with that. I don't care what you thought about it. I had to deal with what God was telling me, and he and I do business, okay? So it came down to it, and he's like, James, why are you holding on to that? And I was like, well, of all those good days. Is it good days? Good days without me. Were they really good days?
Hope, the hopeless, hopeless, pray for the broken.
That's all we have time for today on Bread for the Broken. We're so glad that you joined us as Pastor James Grizzle teaches through the book of Acts. If you'd like to hear today's teaching again or listen to more verse-by-verse teachings from Pastor James, visit breadforthebroken.com and click on the Teachings tab. While you're visiting breadforthebroken.com, you'll also be able to learn more about the church behind the ministry of Bread for the Broken. At Calvary Galveston, we strive to love and live as Jesus did. We're just ordinary people discovering extraordinary truths from the Bible together. As we continue to journey through the book of Acts, our prayer is that your faith is inspired to move, that when you read about the early church, you rediscover the purpose that God has for your life. You might think you're just ordinary, but God sees you deeper, and he knows that you're more than that. Being obedient to the calling that God has on your life might not always make sense, but God blesses those who are faithful to answer his call. And you never know what incredible things God has in store when you freely say, "Yes, Lord." If you're ever in the Galveston area, we would love to have you come visit. Or if you're looking for a new church home, you're always welcome. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. to start the week out right with worship. Our atmosphere is pretty relaxed, so feel free to come just as you are. Find out more and plan your visit by going to our website, breadforthebroken.com. As you go throughout the rest of your day, may you find hope and new life in Jesus.
Let me paint the picture of you.